Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So I was thinking, Maggie, I've been doing the positivity thing so long. I think I'm going to change my approach and I'm going to start being a negative speaker.
Love you it. Know,
like that idea? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been like dedicating my life to positivity for so long and it doesn't seem to be making that big of a difference. Like there's still so much negativity out there. So I figure like if you can't beat them, join them, right? So
I'm sending this to all your clients. Sending this to all your upcoming speeches.
Yeah.
Every pre-booking call.
Yeah.
I'm going to change your answering machine to play that clip.
Yeah, exactly. As if I could turn it off, you know, as if that was somehow something I'm putting on for effect, just choosing to be positive. I mean, yeah, I've got to be who I am, and that's just me, Mr. Motivation. There was a video I posted on TikTok, and it was about meaning and finding meaning in your life. And there was a comment about the fact that life is truly meaningless.
Oh, wow.
And I just don't know how to go there. And I don't know how to help somebody who does. But anyway, maybe this podcast will be one of those tools that could help if we get into it. So you want to get into it?
Yeah, let's roll the intro music.
Roll that intro music.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads.
You know what? Actually, I know exactly what that person needs. There is actually a job called professional cuddler.
Professional cuddler?
There is.
Professional cuddler. Yes, it's a thing. That guy.
I don't know if that gives life meaning, though, to someone who believes life is meaningless. I don't know if it must be a really good cuddle.
His point was that existence, like you can think life is meaningful while you're here. But then at some point when we all die, and once your life is over, then the purpose of your existence is over and it is revealed to be completely without meaning.
Which is not true. Maybe some people.
I could not disagree more.
I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That I disagree.
You know, his point, I mean, my point is that like what you do when you're alive matters because the imprints and impressions of who you are and how you've lived will extend further than you'll ever know long after you're gone. You don't have to know exactly how. Mm-hmm. I just have to believe that that is the case, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, why would you do anything?
Exactly.
Speaking of good things doing on Earth, guess what I did?
What did you do?
I started a book club.
Oh, awesome.
Nice.
I started a club that is books to movies. So we read the book and then we watch the movie of it. Isn't that exciting?
How do you know somebody's really read the book instead of just watched the movie? Hmm?
Because I trust them. They're good people. It's only three of us right now.
Do you talk about the book first and then like watch the movie afterward?
So you're asking questions that should be asked in later stages. This happened last night. I've ordered the book. It'll be here soon. The first book, I think we're going to read it. And then I think we're going to be those annoying people who you watch movies with. And they're like, oh, well, in the book, this. Yeah. And I always get so upset by them. But if it's just us together, we can do that. What's the first book we're reading?
Yeah.
It's called The Summer I Turned Pretty. And it's a trilogy. Mm. It's written by the same author who wrote To All the Boys I've Loved Before, I think. And the movie comes out late June. So it's going to time out perfectly.
Nice.
Fantastic. That'll be great. Well, let me know if it's worth reading for me. Probably may not be my style. I don't know. The Summer I Turned Pretty. I kind of remember that summer.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting on it.
I kind of remember that summer too. Although it was mine was a winter break.
Really?
Well, all that happened was I got my braces off. But I remember a boy I liked at the time. I was thinking about this yesterday. What a rude thing this was for him to say to me. But I had liked him for a long, long time. And this was right after I got my braces off. And he was like, yeah, yeah, I noticed when you got your braces off, I was like, oh, she's kind of cute. As if like I wasn't cute with my braces on for the past 9 months.
You were a different kind of cute. You were always cute, though.
I appreciate it. But I was like, that's such a mean thing to say. To be like, oh, yeah, I noticed you once you got your braces off.
Well,
better than saying, like, you look better with them on.
So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Mags and Dad's Wholesome Chaos. The voices you're hearing are Dad and Mags and Mom, who's in the studio as well. And we're here to just talk about real life in real time, what's going on for us, what we're thinking about, what we're working on. We're going to tell some great stories, answer some questions that we have. Mom's brought some questions in today. I can't wait to find out what's on her mind. And also, we have Eddie, who's editing the podcast. Basically, what he does is he cuts out all the swear words. So after the podcast is over recording, he just takes those out. And then it's the wholesome podcast that you know and love. But anyway, so other than a book club, Maggie, what else have you been up to since we last spoke?
Moving. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I don't know why. So luckily, moving's not crazy, crazy difficult for me because I don't own much. Like when I moved out here, I moved to a fully furnished place, so nothing there was really mine except for a select few things. However, that means I have to buy things. And why is everything so expensive? Yeah. Everything's so expensive. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness.
Well, part of it is right you're now, in LA. You're in California.
But I'm ordering things online, Dad.
Oh.
So, no.
But they know you're in California, so they're inflating the prices.
Nope. Tax. I don't think you're fully factual on that. But
well, we've said it before. Don't rely on this podcast for all your factual data.
Yes. Yeah, or any of it. But right now, I'm actually waiting for my mattress to be delivered. So if in the middle of this podcast, I go, hold that thought, and I run to the door, and you hear some people carrying a mattress in, that's what's happening.
Fantastic. Yes. And I will be at your new apartment in just a couple days. I can't wait. I'm going to be flying out there to see you. And this is the first podcast that you've recorded from inside your new apartment. So
yeah, you can see it's very decorated.
Well, it looks like a white screen behind you. Is that a white screen or is it just a white wall?
It's just a white wall. We're going to put some like art on it.
Well, yeah, it'd be good for auditions, as is.
Well, I use a blue background usually for auditions. It's just easier for color correcting and kind of makes you pop. But yeah, I could if I needed to.
That's really great. That's really awesome. Well, I'm excited for you. I can't wait to help you move, and maybe we'll pick up some things that you don't have to buy because maybe I can help you with that on behalf of Mom and I. What do you really need?
Like we have everything, pillows. But we're on the opposite coast, so that's the problem.
We have the opposite problem.
Yeah, we have too much now. We're trying to downsize, but I think we're going to have to just rent a truck and drive it to California with a bunch of stuff for you.
That sounds good.
No. I do need pillows, though. I need 2 pillows for sleeping, or just 1. I really only use 1 pillow. We'll figure sounds it out. Good. One year's 5. Day. I know. You guys, literally. I never understand how people use so many pillows.
Well, Mom uses a lot of pillows.
I have
She
injuries.
Has a whole system.
I use a good bit of pillows, too.
2.
He uses 2.
I've got, and I only needed 1 until Mom told me, you know, turn me onto the butt pillow. The butt pillow is the one.
It's a knee pillow, but we call it a butt pillow. And I don't know why. I don't know why we do. Maybe you need some therapy about this, or we do.
You put it under your legs. Yeah. No, I mean, I need therapy, but not necessarily about that, about some other issues in life. And, you know, and just in general, I've been feeling really burned out and stressed out. And that's maybe where that whole negativity thing came in.
Yeah.
A little bit of overload. I got to tell you, I've just had a lot on my mind. We had a really freaky night last night. Mom woke up with the at 1:20 in the early morning. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, my gosh, she's running around. We've got squirrels in our attic. Because there was this chattering above our head.
Yeah. We've never had a squirrel in the attic. In fact, we intentionally cut the branches so they couldn't get on the roof. So I don't know how it got in there, but he's got to move out.
Yeah. And so at that moment, I'd only been asleep a couple hours myself. And I couldn't go back to sleep because my brain started just racing with all these thoughts about issues I'm dealing with and the book that I'm writing and whether I like it or whether it's going to work.
Personal issues,
and
work.
So it was now the squirrels in my attic that were racing around. And so listen, I mean, if you are feeling that way, if you're feeling stressed out or burned out, you're not alone. I mean, and in fact, we might associate burnout with work, but that's not the only cause. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feel this way, burned out. And BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life.
I've experienced that so many times where you can be overstressing about something, and literally the second that you actually speak it, a certain amount of that stress leaves because it's out there. It tends to build so much in your mind when you just keep it in, and having someone to talk to about it really does make such a difference. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers phone and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't actually have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to.
It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours.
Mags and Dad's Wholesome Chaos listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/wholesome.
That's betterhelp.com/wholesome. Thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring this podcast. They've been a great sponsor for a long time and also a great help to our family, as the name would imply. So check them out for your family or for your need or for your businesses as well. I actually talk to more and more companies now that provide these types of services, and I often mention BetterHelp to my clients so that they can consider that for their team. Great way to support your people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they use our code.
I'll make sure they do. Yeah, that's a good point. If you use our code, it's kind of like telling the sponsor that you found them on the podcast, which kind of gives us a little bit of a closure in terms of that relationship. And it helps them, you know that you found us that way, or that found them that way, and that you appreciate their sponsorship as well. So thank you for doing that. So
real quick, I have my allergies.
I thought you were going to say your mattress is here.
No. I have to blow my nose.
Okay. Maggie's going to blow her nose. Something else exciting happened this week, Maggie. I reached the 7-gallon mark.
What?
For 7 gallons of milk.
7 gallons of milk in one sitting. No.
Yes.
7 gallons of blood donated with the American Red Cross so far in my lifetime. That's a lot of blood.
Not at one time.
How much blood, Maggie, do you think is in the human body? Take a guess, because I was curious about that, and I looked it up.
3 pints.
Oh, no, more than that, because they take a pint.
Okay, wait. Let me reevaluate that with that new information. 15 pints.
I want to guess, too. I'm going to say 44.
I know the gallons. I know it relative to gallons.
Okay. I'm going to say 30 gallons.
I'm going to say 18 gallons. I don't know.
It's 1.2. 1.2 gallons of blood. Oh, my gosh. That would be a horrific murder scene. It's like a 55-barrel blood.
Well, I was thinking about, like, when you hear about people doing surgery, I'm like, oh, yeah, they had to give him, like, 9 pints of blood. Well, I guess they never gave him
1.2 to 1.5. For bigger people who have more blood. So I've given blood that would support creating at least like 5 other people.
Oh, nice.
Anyway. In the creation. Had you of done the that
before we
people?
Started dating?
Well, if you're like, you're filling them up from scratch.
Let's see, what exactly is your role?
Like a Frankenstein monster. I don't know. Did you ever donate blood before we started dating?
Yeah, I started donating blood in college. In my dorm room, in my freshman year of college.
In your dorm room?
Yeah.
Honey, I don't think that's the shit.
Not in my dorm room, but I was staying in the dorms, and on the quad, they had a blood drive. And a bunch of me and my friends did it, and they were like, you know, afterward.
It's like your friend giving you my roommate homemade tattoos. Hey, I'm going to draw your blood. And
yeah, Dad's roommate was like a pre-med major and was like, I have an idea.
Just for class.
Practiced needle sticking in my arm. That's when I started donating blood. And then I realized I was O negative. See, I told you, I'm negative. I'm like, oh, negative kind of guy. And then that was good because that's the universal blood. People can receive it. So
which is
that
a positive.
It important to me to give more regularly. So after that, I made it a commitment. And I haven't been super committed to it. Lately, my iron's been kind of low, and I had to kind of bring my iron back up by eating a little differently before I could give blood again. And there are a lot of people who can't give blood at all, so that's why I figure, like, it, because I can and because it's useful, I should. That should be, like, one of the things that I do.
Absolutely.
To find a little meaning. Yeah. Mom used to do phoresis, which was, what was that process all about?
It takes the blood platelets out of your blood for cancer patients. And so it, there's a mosquito trying to get me. And so it is kind of the what you're doing now, where they're taking double amounts of platelets. Or well, they're taking, what are they taking out of yours?
They take out the whole blood cells. So basically, they take out a pint of blood, and then they separate it from the plasma. They keep the red concentrated blood platelets, and they put the plasma back in my body, and then they take out another pint. And then they do it again. So it's a double red donation. It's like giving two pints of blood.
Right. So platelets, it's like they take all of that out, and then they just take out the platelets, and then they put the blood back in the other arm with the saline. So you start getting kind of
tingly.
Feeling cold and tingly.
Yeah.
Sometimes your nose will itch.
It's pretty trippy.
Yeah, but back when I first, I mean, I did it a lot before you and I got married, and they would hook you up to two needles. They take it out of one arm, run it through the machine, take the platelets out, add the saline, put it back in the other arm, and it would take 2 hours. But then they developed the spin machine, and it would cut that in half.
Man.
But now they won't let me donate because I lived in Europe in the 80s when there was mad cow disease, and even though nobody in the world has ever gotten mad cow disease that I'm aware of, and they kept telling me, keep checking because we don't think this is going to stay on here forever, but
what
they've never taken
kidney,
it off.
What about your kidney, though?
No, kidney. I know. That's what I said. I lived in Germany in the 80s, and they're like, we don't care. We just want your kidney. They flush all the blood out of the kidney before they give it to the recipient anyway. So,
have you ever given blood, Maggie?
I have not. I got that tattoo when I was 18, so I couldn't for 4 months after that. Actually, it might only be 2 months.
I think it's three. I read that. I paid close attention to that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that long.
No.
But yeah.
Maybe you could do it with your book club. It could be the Book and Blood Club.
See, but it's already book, movie, and possibly crochet club. So like I might just have to start a new club. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like is it really a club if it's just your friends doing everything? Or are they
it
just
could be,
your friends?
It could be bleed. And read.
Bleed and read is fun.
Bleed and read is fun.
Yeah.
And knit and sit and watch a movie.
Oh, Lord.
We don't knit, though. We crochet. It's a common misconception.
Sorry. Yeah.
So speaking of things you can do, did you know that you could also be an online dating ghostwriter is another job position people
online
have?
Online dating ghostwriter?
Yeah. So for people who want to be on an online dating site and they have a really good personality, but they can't write that. They don't know how to describe themselves or whatever.
Have a good personality.
Or they don't, but you want to hire a dating ghostwriter to write your description and make
seems
you sound
like
fun and exciting. Yeah, maybe, but you know, sometimes
seems
it's
a little
easier
bit like
to have somebody else describe you than it is to describe yourself. So
you got a story, Maggie?
I do. This week, I did something really, really cool. I went to go watch a movie at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Fun.
And they project it on the back of Paramount Studios. And we watched Back to the Future.
That sounds
how
so
fun.
Cool.
Right? It was very, very cool. We had blankets and everything that we were laying on. We had to get there early to get good spots, so we had card games and everything that we were playing beforehand. And we We walked around a little bit. This is a very famous cemetery. Michael Jackson is buried there. There's a lot of old Hollywood celebrities there. And we were making jokes about how some of the graves were like wild. There was this one that was a pyramid that it's relatively new, so we imagine it's going to be like a family thing, like the whole family goes in. There was this other like really nice mausoleum, and then there was this one that had a river in front of it, like a whole pool. And we were like, who made these? And is it like a one-up each other thing? Like, was it like they were all like studio executives of different like rivaling companies? Yeah, and then we're like, exactly. You know what? I got this amount of land. I'm going to build this. And it was wild. It was really, really cool though. I think you'd really enjoy, both of you, seeing a movie there. It was really awesome.
How often do they show movies?
Only throughout the summer, Saturdays and Sundays. Yeah.
And you were invited by a friend, or how do you hear about these things? Is there always kind of cool stuff happening in LA?
It's public knowledge. It's run by this thing called like Cinespia, and they have different events, but the graveyard one is kind of one of their coolest, is what I've been heard, would have been told. And so, yeah, my friend who's been a lot of times, she invited me, and we got a little group of friends together to go.
Well, that's a great movie. That's one of the classics.
I forgot. I think that one might be one of my favorite movies. I forgot how perfect that movie is.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's a great movie. It's literally perfect.
Well, it's very familiar to me. That was the first movie I started showing when I was a projectionist in a movie theater.
Yeah.
And so I watched the start and the stop and the end of that movie hundreds and hundreds of times because it ran forever in 1984. Yeah. And it would just, you'd thread it in the machine and get it started. And so the whole beginning with the ticking clocks and then the end, of course, with the back in time. It was like, yeah, it was so fun.
And I remember that being such a huge movie of my childhood. And I remember for the longest time, you guys were like, no, she can't watch the second one because it was a little more grown and everything. And I was like, well, that means I have to watch it. And then the second one actually ended up becoming one of my favorites. I think it's so cool to go into the future, which we actually already lapped because it was set in 2020 and now it's 2022. How crazy is that? Still no flying cars.
No flying cars. We saw Blade Runner the other day and their projection of 2019 was flying cars and, you know. We're always overly ambitious when we think about our future.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, they need to, when you're making a futuristic, you need to make it like 30, 40, you know, not just 20 years into the future. Because we're it not gives as advancing as we were in the Industrial Revolution.
Exactly. Something to work toward. Yeah, I remember Elon Musk. I read one of his, the first book about him when Tesla was starting to really get huge. It was it's just called Elon Musk. And he was saying, like, all these great minds, these brilliant people who are alive on the planet right now are, like, dedicating their lives to finding, how do I make you click this button more quickly? And he's like, it's such the wrong approach for the intellect of our country. It's like, we wanted flying cars, and you're giving us faster clicks. It's like, that's not the way it should be. But, yeah,
it's actually really
we do want to know that the answer to that. How do we get more clicks?
We're like, yeah, that's terrible, but how that's in regards terrible. To how, a podcast does... Yeah. No, that's so true.
Subscribe, like, by the way. If you're listening to the podcast and you like it so far, subscribe, tell your friends, grow the podcast.
Yeah, episode 49, and this is probably the second time we've ever said, hey, hit that subscribe button.
Mainly we just do this for us, but we also do it for you.
Subscribe and then go make a flying car.
Yes.
So anything else with that night, that story? Anything else interesting happen afterward, or?
I went home. I went to sleep. I had a vegan burger. Well, actually,
while you were sleeping, that's amazing.
No, my friend Molly and I grabbed some this place called Monty's. You'd like it. It's vegan burgers and chicken sandwiches. It's just kind of, it's not great for you. It's like fast food, but it's vegan. So we got that before so we could eat it while we were waiting. It was super fun.
Excellent. Well, we had an interesting week here, other than the squirrels in the attic piece, which was interesting. I shot my weekly video twice this week because the first time I shot it, it was like early Sunday morning and I got it in the can, did the whole thing. And then a couple days later, I started to look at the footage. And you know, when I go out and I shoot these things, it's at first light of dawn. And so I don't really see that great, I guess. And I'm looking at my phone to look at the video. It sounded really good. I looked at all the clips. But then when I blew it up and looked at it on the bigger screen, I actually had a little booger in my nose in all of the shots.
Thanks for sharing.
And I was like, I can't put this out. So I had to redo it. But then I decided to one up it. And so I went to a much cooler location, to Arabia Mountain, and I shot that video there. So that's the next one that's coming out.
And the moral of the story is,
check your
look
nose.
Look in the mirror. Yeah.
Blow your nose
check
like your Maggie
zipper
did.
And check your nose.
Yes, indeed.
It might be time for me to blow my nose again.
But I was thinking about a story I could tell you that's even way more embarrassing and interesting than that story of the booger in the nose. And that was the time,
please,
Maggie.
Do tell.
That my tooth fell out while I was speaking on stage. My front tooth actually fell out of my face while I was speaking in front of a live audience in Minneapolis. Did I tell you this story?
Have it on video.
Yes, I remember this.
Yes, we do.
Okay, you remember this.
Did you keep the tooth? Did you find it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I have the video. But I don't think I'm going to ever necessarily show that video. That's what I think I'm going to do one day is I'm going to do a speech for speakers at National Speakers Association, and I'm going to show that speech because there's like all of these pivotal moments within that story of me recognizing what was happening and then what started actually happening and then how I handled it. And it could be a very interesting lesson that I think other speakers would learn from, and they would be like, no matter what happens to me on stage, at least my tooth never fell out on stage. But yeah, to understand like how that happened, I guess, you know, the first thing is to understand is like my history of teeth. I had chipped teeth when I was a kid. I got hit in the front of my teeth once by a can. And then another
flying
time.
Flying cars and flying cans. The cars have not been invented though.
And then the second time that was really bad, I jumped up. I was basically like goofing around horseplay at this summer camp kind of thing on a wooden basketball floor. And I jumped up to try to kick this one guy, just kind of like not really trying to hurt him, but just kind of like play fighting. And he grabbed my foot, which kept my feet in the air. And my face fell down and hit the ground and cracked my tooth. And that one was bad because I needed a root canal. So I had this really painful surgery, had a root canal, had temporary caps. I had braces. I had a headgear.
Ooh, he was a catch.
I had gum surgery twice. And then when I was an adult, I finally got my teeth sort of fixed because, you know, all those teeth, those were really kind of young teeth where I got them hurt. So my teeth were kind of littler. So I got like grown-up teeth finally when I got to be an adult, got my teeth a little bigger. So people who say, oh, you've got a beautiful smile, it's like, yeah, that's
after
because
we
I spent
married.
Thousands of hours, maybe not thousands, but many hours sitting in a chair, staring at a ceiling, getting my face worked on. So these are crowns up front. No problem. So I'm in the middle of my speech, 30 minutes in, and I start to feel this little like wiggling sensation in my front of my mouth. The tooth is starting to move. And I was like, oh no, like what's happening here? And it took me a minute to process. My teeth is loose, but that's okay because it's still in my mouth.
My tooth is loose.
But it's still in my mouth at this point. And so at this point, Maggie, I just start talking very carefully. Like, I don't want my lips to touch my tooth and make it any looser than it already is.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was talking really weird to begin with, thinking, I just need to get through the rest of my speech.
And it's only like halfway in, right?
Yeah, not even. I'm like 25 minutes in to an hour speech. And I was doing the whole juggling analogy thing with the, like, going from three balls to four and then four to five. And so I had some props in my hand and I'm talking about patterns and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, he went on and on and on.
Yes. And so I'm holding four balls and I'm walking back toward the lectern and my tooth literally flies out of my mouth. I catch it in my hand and no one else saw it.
You can see it on the video if you're looking.
Are you sure?
Well, people couldn't register it because it was so little, even though I was on the screens. I was on like big screens.
Big IMAX.
But I catch it and I play it off and I just, you could hear it because there's a mic on the lectern. And so I drop it on the top of the wood and it just goes like, tick, 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 tick. Like you hear the tooth hit the wood, which is another kind of funny moment. And then I keep going, but now I have no tooth in my mouth. And so I'm kind of like facing sideways. They're turning this way, turning this way. I'm kind of like blocking out the audience so they can't really see what's going on with my mouth. And I was thinking, I don't know what to do here. If I could just get to the blackout, then I can think clearly without the consciousness of like everybody's looking at me. So in my speech, I go to like a blackout moment where all the lights go to nothing and I juggle these lighted balls. And so I got to that moment and then the lights went out and I was like, finally relaxed. I was thinking for a second, like, can we just leave the lights off for the rest of the speech? Can I do that?
Oh my gosh.
And while he's thinking all of this, he's still talking. He's still delivering his speech, but he's having a completely different conversation in his brain.
And my words are coming out a little weird because I don't have a tooth. Yeah. Sometimes when you're speaking, like you're so in it and you're really in the moment, but you also have this other gear where it's like, I've got some business to take care of. So I could just kind of put my speech on autopilot for a little while. So that's what I was doing. Well, I decided when we came out of the blackout, look, I've just got to come clean with this audience and represent what happened like to the best of my ability. And so I was making a point about change and uncertainty and dealing with what happens. And I said, for example, you know, it just a few minutes ago, live on stage, you know, I've always had this dental work in my life and I have a crown on the front of my teeth and it came loose and came out right in front of you right now in the middle of my speech. And I just smiled and it's like the goofiest. It's like, it's so amazing how much different you look without one of your front teeth. And I just felt like, okay,
adorable.
From this point on for the rest of the speech, I have to the best of my ability, represent toothlessness in the most professional context I possibly can. Yep. And I did, and it went great, and standing ovation, and I sold all my books. And while I was doing books, I asked my client if they could call a dentist in the area, try to find one, because I had a speech the next day in another city. And they found someone who could take me in an emergency situation. So right after I was done with the books, I got in a cab, I went over there, I got it glued in immediately. I made it back to the meeting in such a way where they kind of reintroduced me and were like, hey, everybody, Dan got his tooth fixed. And I came up and smiled and was like, okay, there we go. And I had a lot of people say, you know, you handled that so well. Did you do that on purpose? Is that like a fake tooth that just comes out when you want it to? But yeah, that was my tooth story.
Did they put the same crown back in?
Yes. And thankfully, I didn't swallow it. Thankfully, I didn't lose it. I found it. And that's this crown right here. Because what happened was the back of it got cracked. My lower teeth moved, which pushed it out of position. And so the dentist told me, he said, you know, this is just, let me fix this now. It's really in there. This is good, strong glue. But what you're going to want to do is replace this crown at some point because this is only like a temporary fix. And that was years ago.
And you I've haven't never replaced
gotten,
it.
Mm. I haven't gotten it replaced.
Are you serious?
No, it's still, I mean, now it's sentimental. It's like my lucky tooth.
What? I thought you got it fixed.
Why is it your lucky tooth?
It's because it's a great story.
What makes it lucky?
Plus, I don't think it's going to happen again. I don't
wow,
think
that's some amazing glue.
Yeah, right.
I bet that guy could make a flying car if it's that brilliant.
Oh my gosh,
whoever invented that glue. Yeah. Yep.
But if it does happen again, then I'll know how to handle it. But I don't think it's going to happen again.
That's crazy.
Paulo Coelho.
What?
Paulo Coelho, the author of The Alchemist, has a line in there. See if I remember it. It's like, everything that happens once can never happen again. But everything that happens twice will surely happen a third time.
Well, that's contradictory right
think
there, isn't
about
it?
That. I think I know what he means, though.
Everything that happens has once. Happened.
Everything that happens once can never happen again. But everything that happens twice will surely happen a third time.
So something has happened twice. So that first line is incorrect. If the second one is correct,
Well,
and the third one is, of course, just a possibility.
What do you think that means, Maggie? Any idea?
Book club, discuss.
I think
that would be a good book.
I think it means something along the lines of there's a lot of value placed in like, okay, it happened once, it'll never happen again. But if something happens twice, then that value's gone. And so it's like, okay, it's not just a one-time thing. It doesn't matter how many times now. Because you can't say anymore like, oh, it happened once. That's not true anymore. So what's stopping you from like a third, fourth, fifth?
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's my interpretation. I think about it
is if something happens once, you recognize that like every moment is original. Every moment is a singularity. It's like a one-time experience. But if you recognize that something's happening again, what you're doing is you're placing it in a category where you're comparing it to something else that already happened. And then now you're going to create a category and then it's going to happen again because that's how it works. Does that make sense? It's like, even though something similar will happen, it won't be the exactly same thing unless you say it is,
right.
In which case you're creating a category and then the third thing happens.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cool line.
Interesting.
Speaking of lines, did you know you could get a job as a line stander?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, Mom.
Yep, just you need line somebody to go stand in line for you on Black
Mom's
Friday.
Mom's been on Google. Mom's been on Google.
Mom's into podcast prep these days.
Well, no, I really, something interesting came across my desk. I do. I read a lot of random things, history and stuff. And I heard about somebody called a knocker-upper. And I was like, what? I'm not going to click on that because that's probably
and
a virus.
She did. She
did. So I opened a different browser. You open a fresh browser and then you Google knocker-upper and then
no,
you find
you
the
that's
same
not
thing.
Something you do.
Yes. You don't click on the link that sounds like crazy, especially those links that say, oh, so and so just, you know, we'll miss this person and you know they're not dead. You don't click on that. But yeah, so knocker-uppers, what do you think a knocker-upper is?
Sounds like somebody who donates at a sperm bank.
What do you think, Max?
It sounds like? It sounds like somebody who's going to knock someone up. That's their job.
No. A knocker-upper were people, especially in England, I don't know if it was in the U.S., they would come by to give you a wake-up call.
A wake-up call. Knock you up.
So people, yeah. And if you go online, actually, I'll post it on our Instagram, which is just really busy with lots of photos. But knocker-uppers, a lot of times people slept in these upstairs above storefronts and things like that. And so they have these long poles and they would tap on those high windows to wake you up for work. And they'd keep doing it until you came out and said, stop it. And Mary and Molly Smith, I think Molly Smith was Mary's daughter and she was like the last official knocker upper. But Mary and Molly, I might have mixed those up, but I think that's right. They used pea shooters. And so they would get dried peas and they'd fire those up to your window until you came out and told them to stop. That, you know, and then they'd come by and collect their money once a month.
How about that? What would we do without knocker-uppers these days?
I know.
I guess we'd have to use our alarm clocks, our phones.
Yeah, my phone's a knocker-upper.
Speaking of sperm banks, Mom has a movie coming out.
Next year, but
she's basically got it in post-production.
Yeah.
And in that movie, there's kind of a heist that happens at a sperm bank. And so we had to name the sperm bank this week. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be a sign in the shot. And we came up with some good sperm bank names. But I think the one we're going to go with is?
Well, I named it Swimmers.
Swimmer Sperm Bank.
Swimmer Sperm Bank.
But my line, the tagline was, choose your daddy.
Yeah. By appointment only.
You like that?
That's the outdoor sign.
Yeah, those are both good.
You actually came up with Swimmers, too.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
You said it, and so I was like, yeah, because I wanted like a name. And I was like, that sounds like
Swimmer
a person's
sperm
name,
bank.
But it also,
choose your daddy.
You know.
It could be. It could happen.
There you go.
Yeah.
But if it happened once, It can never happen again.
But if it happens twice, it'll surely happen a third time.
There you go.
Who's surely?
Look at that.
One of my lights died. I don't know if you noticed that, but there used to be a lot more light in my shot, and then it died.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
That's okay. It only happened a few minutes ago.
Well, it can never happen again.
No, because it only happened once.
Yeah, exactly. So what else have you been up to this week? Or is there anything new happening and exciting that you're thinking about doing?
Going home for my birthday.
Oh, that's
getting
right.
Getting ready to pick up my dad from the airport.
Okay, so what's our plan? What are we going to do?
We're going to have fun.
I'm down for that. I'm there just for the weekend, essentially.
We're going to drink coffee and eat food.
Love it.
Not in that order. We're going to eat food and drink coffee in that order. We're going to figure it out. We could go on a hot girl walk. Do you like walks?
I love it. I love those walks. And we're going to go see some friends, maybe.
Maybe.
Make some content. Could happen. Look for cars. Buy some pillows.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Preferably one. No, preferably two.
Go to the car and pillow store.
Is there a combined one?
A combined car and pillow store? Possibly.
Mom, was that in your podcast research?
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening. I was reading.
You can't zone out during a podcast.
Mom. I decided to let you guys talk a little.
How do we expect anyone else to listen?
She's doing more random research.
What was the question?
Nope. Never mind.
The answer is always.
Okay.
What was the question? And is that a bad answer?
Nope.
I guess you're going to have to listen to the podcast to find out.
Well, she will. She will multiple times.
Well, you know, it's always fun to chat with you guys and to do a little podcast. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for talking with me. Thank you for listening to most of it, Mom.
Sorry.
And if you've enjoyed listening, go out to wholesomechaos.com. You could learn a little bit more about the podcast there and about us. You can ask questions, which we will get to in future podcasts. We read all your questions. We pick out ones that we could want to share here on the air. So please let us know what's on your mind and in your life so that we can help with that too. And it just means so much to us that you're listening. It really does. It's a huge part of our life, and we're grateful that you're part of the family. So I'll see you real soon, Maggie.
See you soon. I love you guys.
I love you.
Love you too.
We love you, everyone. Take care. Have a great day and a great week. Bye now.
Bye.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos.
So, Maggie, when the guy delivers your mattress, mm-hmm. ask if he is also a bed tester, because you may need a bed tester.
I'm not going to ask the man who delivers my bed to test my mattress with me.
That is a terrible idea.
But there's seriously, it is a professional sleeper. They'll hire people, especially at hotels, to go sleep on the mattresses. Like, how was your nap? Was it good? Was the bed comfortable? Was the room nice? I would love that job.
I always thought bed testing would be like, I want to buy a mattress, so I'm going to go sleep on a mattress in a store.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me that you would want to do that.
But you'd be like, hey, guys, can you keep it down? I'm trying to take a nap here.
Mom and I bought our hot tub by taking our swimsuits to the hot tub store and actually taking a hot tub.
That's right.
Yep. Did you actually?
And it was a good thing we did, because we ended up liking a different hot tub than we thought, because it was more comfortable.
It fit our bodies a little bit better because we're little people. When we were floating away in the big tub, we're like, no, no.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.